We are in our series, week three of our series, Touching Wonder, as we've been talking about rediscovering the awe of Christmas. And I've used that word purposefully, that awe, that mouth wide open. I can't believe God is doing this. I can't believe what he's up to. And he certainly is up to something at Christmas as he's sending his son, as he's making a way to offer salvation. And we're going to kind of get a glimpse of that today in our story. But my goal through this series the last couple of weeks has been to introduce us to some real flesh and blood people, real people like you and me, who were encountered with a holy God and they stood in awe of him as they gathered into the story and the way that God has them. And we look to two characters already, Zechariah and Mary, and we talked about the old priest Zechariah and how God had come to him and revealed to him that he would have he and his wife, who was called barren, would have a son in their old age, and he struggled with not being able to believe that. Lord, I don't see how that's going to be possible. I'm old, my wife is old. How is this going to take place? And God showed us through that story that we can, in fact, believe God. He can do what he says he's going to do. He will do what he says he's going to do. And then last week, we looked at a young girl, Mary. Same thing with the angel. Comes to her and says, Mary, you're going to have a child. He's going to come upon you. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you'll have a child. And Mary's response was beautiful. She simply said, Lord, let it be. Let it be to me, just like you've said. And she showed that. And so we go back to Zechariah today, and then we'll end with Mary on Christmas Eve. But Zechariah's story today is really a story of redemption, a story of a man who struggled with unbelief. And we've all been there. Sometimes we struggle sometimes to believe God can do what he says he's going to do and that he will do what he says. But God shows himself to Zechariah as he does to us as one who is faithful and true to his promises. And so what we're going to look at is Zechariah's response when God shows up, when God does exactly what he says he's going to do. And so I want to invite you to take your Bible, if you have it with you, Luke chapter 1. You can see there on the screen, we're going to read verses 57 through 80. And this is the story of the birth of John the Baptist, the promised son that was laid out for Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And then Zechariah's prophecy, which is his song of praise to God. We're going to read that together. So if you don't have a Bible, words are going to be on the screen there, but I want to invite you to follow along with us here as we begin in verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, no. He shall be called John. They said to her, none of your relatives is called by that name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet. And he wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed. And he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. To show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. And you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. May God bless the reading and the teaching of his word today. We're coming back again to our story of Zechariah, picking up after a little hiatus last week. If you remember, Mary had gone and visited Elizabeth in her 6 months. So she was 6 months pregnant, 6 months pregnant at that time. And now the time had come for the baby to be born. So it's been about 3 months, probably, since we pick up the story here. And the child that was promised had been born. God had told Zechariah in the vision there in the temple, not in the vision, in a visit. He visited, the angel visited Zechariah there in the temple and told him, your wife will give birth to a son. And indeed it had happened. And we see, we read just, and we'll look at just a little more in a moment, that Zechariah was inspired to also give up a song of thanksgiving in which he praises God for what he has done. And so what we find is as I mentioned earlier, the story of redemption. When God says he's going to act, when God says to Zechariah and to Elizabeth and to us today that he's going to act, he does. He comes through with his promises. Now, we don't always have an angelic visitor. I haven't had an angelic visitor, and you may not have had an angelic visitor, and that's okay. But God is still God, and God still comes through on his promises. But Zechariah had a very definite experience with God. He had seen an angel, and they told him this. And so what happens is God acts. And God acts in a way that is exactly like he said he was going to act. And now you remember Zechariah's story. He had been rebuked. He had been told that he wouldn't be able to speak because he didn't believe. You remember the story there. You know, because you don't believe, you're not going to be able to speak. Now listen, 9 months of not speaking. Now listen, I talk for a living, and I also talk for enjoyment because I just like to talk, okay? 9 months is a long time for me to imagine being silent, okay? Like 9 minutes would be hard sometimes, but 9 months of not talking. Imagine all the things that I could think of in 9 months that I needed to tell y'all. It would be an all-day service, I promise you. You just have to sit here and bring lunch with you because we'd be here all day. 9 months of not being able to speak. I don't know what goes through your time, but you're just thinking on these things, you're pondering on these things, and Zechariah has all this kind of probably rolling around in his head. But what we see in this story, what I love about this story, is in the discipline of God, in this sentence of silence, if you will, what we see is a stronger man emerging. Isn't it funny how discipline, on the other side of it, we come out stronger? Isn't that the way God often works? Sometimes he has to get our attention with a little nudge or a little tap on the head or a little binding of the tongue maybe. And then the end of that, when we come through the end of that, what we see in Zechariah is very much what we see in ourselves. Sometimes we come out much stronger. I love this story of Zechariah because it speaks to me. Sometimes God must rebuke us. Maybe not this severely, but sometimes God just needs to get our attention and call us to something till he allows us to come out stronger on the other side. So here's what's happening. The baby's born. They go to the temple on the eighth day, and you read there that there was great rejoicing. You realize when a couple this old, you know, has a child miraculously, there's going to be a lot of interest around what is going on and a lot of praise to God, honestly. There's a lot of just worship that we see going on here. And they go to the temple on the eighth day, very much the tradition of the Jews at that time. They would go there. They would dedicate, if you will, the baby to the Lord. They would name the baby or announce the baby's name at that time and do circumcision, which was what all Jewish boys would have done at that time. So they get to the naming ceremony. Again, it looks like a large crowd is there. And they say, what's the baby's name? Is it Zechariah Jr. or Zechariah the 6th or however many Zecharias there have been, you know? Usually that's what you did. You named him so-and-so Jr. or Zechariah son of, I mean, or so-and-so son of Zechariah. I mean, you would have used a family name. And Elizabeth says, no, we're going to name him John. John? Well, you don't have anybody in your family named John. Your dad's not John. Your granddaddy's not John. Even your great uncle's not named John. Why are you naming the child John? And we look at this and we think, well, you can name your kid wherever you want to. What are these? Whose business is it of these people? You have to understand, this different time, very traditional. This would have caused, this is when somebody says something in church and everybody starts whispering to each other, okay? Like, did you see that? Their phone went off during church, you know? That happened in the first service, okay? So, you know, what happened? You know, everybody starts kind of whispering. You people always turn your ringers on silent. I appreciate that, all right? So, you know, people start whispering. They say, name him John. That's a dumb name. Nobody, you know, his parents not named John. And we don't understand that, but we're like, this is a big deal. Well, ask his dad. Oh, okay, well, ask Zachariah. One problem with Zachariah, he can't speak, okay? He's still mute. He's still unable to communicate, and it says in the Bible we read here that they made signs to him, you know? I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that was, but they made some signs to him and said to him, you know, what do you want him to be called? I love this. Takes a tablet, not an iPad, okay? A tablet, all right? Piece of wood, probably with wax on it. Very rudimentary, you know, writing tablet. Takes that and he scratches in there. You see what he wrote? He says it right here. His name is John. His name is John. Where did he get that name from? Verse 13, what did the angel say? You're going to call his name John. You're going to call him John. Don't be afraid. Elizabeth's going to have a baby. You'll call him John. Man, simple act of obedience. And look what happens in verse 63. Don't miss this. As soon as Zechariah writes, his name is John, what did they all do? There's that word I've been pointing you to all throughout the scripture here in the ESV. It says they all wondered. Now, what did they wonder at? The name? Maybe. But I want you to think, I want to put yourself back here in the congregation at this time. What were they wondering about? You have to understand, it goes all the way back to the beginning of our series. We mentioned the hundreds of years that God had been silent. Not 9 months, hundreds of years that God has been silent. Zechariah comes out 9 months before and says he had seen an angel of the Lord. And so God speaks. They already have a heightened sense of awareness that something is going on. God is revealing himself some way. And now, not only is God revealing himself in the successful birth of this child, but this child's name is going to be different. This child's purpose is going to be significant. It says here in the scripture that we read, and all of them said, what will this child be? God is up to something, isn't he? I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is yet. But I know he's up to something. And so they all wonder. Now let's come back to Zechariah. Immediately the Bible says, after he writes in the tablet, his name is John. After obedience, his mouth was open and his tongue was loosed and he began to speak a word of blessing to God. I often wonder, you know, what's the first thing to come out of your mouth after you haven't spoken for 9 months? What Zechariah did, is offered up a blessing to God for what he was doing and what he had done. This unusual thing, this all the circumstances of what's going on here kind of leave us in this place, especially for Luke's readers as they read this. They would have been reading this and really reflecting on this and saying, what is this that has come to be? What is this child that has come to be? What is it that God is indeed up to? Zechariah begins to offer up this praise to God. And we saw Mary's song last week. We saw Mary's song last week. And now we see Zechariah's song. Mary's song was very personal. Zechariah's song is very, very divine. And so I don't know if you noticed it when we read through the song earlier together, verses 68 through 75, the first three quarters of the song it's not about the baby that's born. It's not about John the Baptist. Not about him. Who's it about? It's about Jesus. Isaiah's prophecy, Zechariah would have known very well. He would have known that prophecy. And Zechariah begins to cry out, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. And there's some imagery here in verse 69. He says he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. You understand, a horn is a symbol of strength, and it was an object that also could be used for war. They would take an ox horn, and they would use that as a weapon. It also is a symbol of something, you know, that could not be easily broken. And there's all these Old Testament allusions that Zechariah begins to praise God for Jesus, who has not been born yet. He begins to praise God for the one that was to come, the one who is going to be raised up as the one who would bring salvation. And Zechariah talks about the rescue and the mercy of this Jesus and this God who remembers his promises over and over again, and not only remembers them, but is faithful and true to them. And the salvation that he brings would not be salvation from governments, or from the Romans. He would bring salvation from sin. He would give people a chance to turn from their sin and turn back to God. And what is the message that John speaks as we get to his ministry later? He preaches a message of repentance, a message of salvation, of forgiveness of sin. Zechariah spends the whole first three quarters of his song praising God for Jesus. Now listen, let's be honest. That's not where I would have started, because God had given me a son, my wife and I a son, in our old age. If I'm Zechariah, I would have started, God, thank you so much for my son, John. In my old age, my wife and I were able to have a child, and yet he starts with just the opposite. He starts by praising God for Jesus. Then he says in verse 76, finally, he says, and you, child, speaking to John, will be called the prophet of the Most High. You will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, to give knowledge of forgiveness of sin because of the tender mercy of God. And he begins to talk about all the things that John is going to do. He's going to prepare the way. Well, let's talk about what we can learn from this story of Zechariah today. But let's review real quick our first couple of weeks when we talked about our central question that we're asking this Christmas season is, how can we be captivated by the wonder of God? And we began with Zechariah. Instead of having doubt and unbelief like Zechariah did, to be captivated by the wonder of God this Christmas season, we must begin by simply believing God. A couple of things about God. That he is indeed God. He is Lord Almighty. And he is who he says he is. And not only that, that he can do what he says he's going to do. That's what Zechariah had trouble with. He really couldn't get past that first hump. And so we talked about, if we're going to be captivated by the wonder of God, we first got to believe, God, I know that you are who you say you are, and I know you can do whatever you say you're going to do. Then we looked at Mary's story last week in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. And we saw Mary not only believed God, trusted God, what did she do? She acted on it, and she submitted her life to him. Her words were exactly, let it be. God, let it be to me, just as you've said. I believe you. I trust you. Now I'm going to absolutely turn over my life to you. I'm going to give you my all. I'm going to give you my everything. It's a really cool story. I say this because it's a God story. I finished the message last week. Walked out into the commons like I always do. A lady comes up to me, emotional in a good way, and she said, I know that that's the step that I've got to take. See, that's the Holy Spirit of God working in people's lives. They know, sometimes we know what we're supposed to do and we believe God, we just got to let go of it. God, I'm going to let you have this. She had a breakthrough. She had a moment where God showed her that. That's the power of God, the power of his Holy Spirit. Mary said, let it be to me. I submit to you, Lord. I give you my everything. What do we see today in Zechariah? The third thing we see, how can we be captivated by the wonder of God? It's by blessing God, by blessing him, by offering to him a word of praise. Now think about this. If we really want to be captivated by the wonder of God, we've got to take a moment in this Christmas season and say to God, Lord, I worship you. God, I praise you. God, I thank you that you give me the power to believe and the power to submit. And thank you that you follow through on your promises. Zechariah reminds me of me sometimes. And maybe he reminds you of you sometimes. I still have a lot to learn. Okay? Zechariah was a priest. He had all the knowledge in the world. You know, I can have degrees. I can have all these things and all this biblical knowledge. That doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I still have a lot to learn about God. I can't coast my way through faith, can I? We can't coast our way through faith, because sometimes God speaks to us and he asks us to obey, and we simply think, God, this is ridiculous. This doesn't make any sense. God, this is impossible. I don't see how any of this is going to work out. And then in an act of surrender and obedience, he gets out a tablet and scratches in the words, his name is John. It's a symbol of surrender, isn't it? Of obedience. God, I give this child, I give myself to you. You're never too old to know and learn how to love God more and more, are you? 80, 90, 42, whatever that might be. You're never too old, because our walk with God is lifelong, isn't it? It's as long as I'm here, as long as I'm breathing, God has promised that he's going to be involved in my life. He's promised that he's going to be involved in your life. And so I can't ever stop learning, and learning to trust him more, and learning to walk deeper in my trust with him. I'm going to tell you, the one thing though that I alluded to it earlier, that I really took from this song of Zechariah is really the fact that this Christmas season, it's really easy for us to rejoice in what God is doing in our own lives. And don't hear me out on this. It's really easy for us to say, God, thank you so much for the things that I have, for the ability that I have to do this, or my home, or my children, or my family. And listen, those are good things, aren't they? But that's often where we start this season. We say, God, I just want to bless you for what you have done for me. And I looked at Zechariah's song, and I said, okay, I've got it backwards. I'm not going to take anything I have in this earth with me. Becky and my kids are going to divide it up once I'm gone. You know, it's going to be gone. I'm not going to take any of that stuff with me, am I? You know what's eternal? You know what's everlasting? My salvation. My life in Christ. And so when I start blessing God this Christmas season, you know what I need to bless God for first? The one who gives salvation. For Jesus Christ, the one who came, to die for me and for you. Just like Zechariah, I want to offer up the praise of God. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who has visited and redeemed his people in the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to sing that song as loud as I can this Christmas season. And then, yes, I want to say, God, thank you for my children and my wife and my family and my things. But church, hear me today. Hear me. This is the main point of everything we're talking about today. If you want to be captivated by the wonder of God, you begin by blessing God for his son, Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Because that's what's eternal. And that's what's everlasting. And that's what Zechariah had to see. Lord, I need to see first the Savior. This horn of salvation, the one who is promised from of old. And he says it here at the end. Don't miss the end if you still got your Bibles open there. Verse 79, he says, this son of mine will point to the light to those who sit in the darkness. The true light, which gives light to every man, is coming into the world, isn't he? And he is the one this Christmas season that we offer blessings to. May we remember that as we leave this place today. May we praise him for the work of salvation that was to come. May we praise and bless him, for he is indeed the horn of salvation that has come. Well, let's bow together for just a moment. Can we do something? I just want to invite you for just a moment. The best way to put application to this is just to do that where you sit. I'm going to just be silent for a moment. I'm going to ask you to just bless God for Jesus this season. Above anything else, just bless Him. God, I simply ask this morning that we fix our eyes, our ears, our hearts on Your Son. God, we can enjoy family, and we should do that. We should enjoy being together and loving and all the good things that we have in that. But God, because of the Son, because of Your Son, God, we have the promise of eternal life, salvation. God, forgive us when everything gets in the way of that central message. God, we bless You today for Jesus. God, I pray that everybody here would know Him. God, if there's somebody here today that needs to know Him, by the power of Your Spirit, would You convict them of their need for You as Savior and allow them to have the boldness to come and share with a prayer partner or to share with me? God, those of us who know You in this place, we offer up to You thanksgiving. Blessings. Lord, may we keep our eyes focused on You. May we lay down our burdens at Your feet, knowing that You hear and we trust You, God, for You are a God who over and over again has redeemed His people. We love You, Lord. We thank You for this time of year. May we keep our eyes fixed on You. Pray this in Jesus' name.